This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. You can't get just one. Okay, so that's not like some marketing hyperbole. You literally can't get just one. They come in twos. So like, if you want just one, you're going to need to find a friend who loves slow-roasted chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch sauce. Or a friend of a friend, or have an awkward conversation with a complete stranger to see if they're obsessed with chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch. Or you could just like eat them both because you're obsessed with slow-roasted chicken, bacon. Okay, you get the idea. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell U.S. locations for a limited time while supplies last.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Country boy. Yeah, yeah. I get up before the rooster. I'm up. Put on my camo. Yeah. Load up my bow and my rifle and stock the ammo. I'm a bullet with the bullet, but I'm lethal with the arrow. Always down for the hunt. Dove turkey and big bucks. Hit the woods and get fitted up. Mossy oak all across my fit. Don't be surprised. We do this too.
I be up before the sun with my 30 at 6. Yeah. All about it on, I ain't worried about the kick. Yeah. We do this too.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got a super special guest today, Kissimmee, Florida's own, Mr. A.B. Chocolate Cowboy. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, brother. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Like we were talking earlier, man, it's been a while since we're trying to get each other on. We're just getting signals getting across and then just everyday life happening, but I'm finally glad I got you on, man, because I found your Instagram page, man, and it looks like you're into a lot of things, from hunting in Africa, killing lions, tigers, bears. You seem like you're it seems like you're the man. So, man, how did you first off, introduce yourself.
So what's going on, guys? I'm Antonio Brown, or Tone Brown, or the Chocolate Cowboy. Got a couple names that ring true in the streets. And yeah, born and raised Kissimmee, Florida. Florida boy to the core. Flow grown. Avid fisherman. Bow hunter. All around outdoorsman. Love and affinity for the outdoors, and a businessman as well. Did the whole college thing. I say I'm a sophisticated caveman. Haven't yeah, got the the brains, but still do caveman things, you know? So that's who I am, Chocolate Cowboy, Antonio Brown.
That's awesome, man. So how did you get introduced to the outdoors?
Well, it came from my upbringing. I was the only one in my family born in the South, born in Florida. Everyone else is from New York. They're Yankees, you know? So living in Central Florida, it was a heavily wooded area, Kissimmee, back in the day. I had a lake behind the house, and I was just fishing. I love to go outside, only child, no father. So I spent the predominant of my time outside exploring the area around the house, riding dirt bikes, fishing. I asked my mom for a bow when I was seven or so. I remember it till this day, a little Sioux bow. That's what it's called. Little Sioux, about yay big, had the arrows and everything. And that was my introduction to the outdoors. It's just going outside and living my childhood in the most purest way, like we used to do back in the day. We used to go outside instead of sitting on these gaming systems, shooting BB guns, catching lizards, learning how to tie snares to trap things. And then after that, I graduated to going hunting. My first experience hunting was with a gentleman named Tony Wright. I've been trying to find him till this day because he doesn't even understand what his kindness did and how it impacted my life and led me to where I am today. He was a teller at the Bank of America kiosk inside the Albertsons. That's how small the town was. We had a Bank of America kiosk inside the Albertsons next to the VHS rental where you get your popcorn and your VHS. And that gentleman wanted to take me hunting. He was a friend of the family. And lo and behold, he was a bow hunter. So growing up in Kissimmee, back in the day, most of my friends were white. Nothing wrong with that. That's everybody's my people, you know? And so here's this gentleman who, same color as me, he hunts, and then come to find out he bow hunts. So my mind was blown. My mind was blown when he took me out. I was like, wait a second. Is this the reincarnation of Jesus himself with a bow? Like, what's going on, my man? And then from there, hook, line, and sinker, because I already loved archery. I was already shooting archery in my backyard. And that right there, that just captivated me. But I didn't come from that background. So there was a time when it was dormant. And once I started to get of age and venture out a little bit more, that's when I really kicked it into full gear, you know, with the fishing and hunting. I used to go to fish camp growing up instead of soccer or basketball camp. Fished in the junior Bassmaster.
That's awesome.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. So rodeo is a holiday where I'm from. In February, we'd get days off from school for that. Rodeo. You take your date to the rodeo carnival. Right. A little private school, real small town vibes. One of my classmates' family made the boiled peanuts. Caleb's dad supplied the steers, you know, just small town vibes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I grew up in a real small town here in central Kentucky, south central Kentucky.
Okay.
Magnolia, Kentucky. There's probably 300 people. Real small town. And I got introduced from my dad. He's from a little cotton town outside of Memphis, Tennessee called Somerville, Tennessee. And he met my mom, and they ended up here in Kentucky where my mom grew up. So I grew up hunting and fishing with him. Like you said, small town vibes. Everybody knows everybody. And I'm like you, all of my friends here were predominantly white. And like, I'm cool with everybody. Everybody's everybody. It wasn't until I got like a little bit older, kind of started this platform and, you know, sharing some of my hunting experiences. I've been kind of getting some flack from most of the people that look like me. You know, saying, hey, you know, you're never going to make it. It's a white boy sport. You know, black people didn't do this type of thing and this whatever. And I'm like, outdoors is for everybody. It's not a color thing. And people try to make it a color thing. And I started this platform to, you know, to share my hunting experiences with it. And maybe some kid, you know, pick up what I'm doing, and you know, they want to get in the outdoors, but you know, some people just want to bring the whole race thing into it. It's like, man, like I've been doing this since I was a kid. It's something I love, it's my passion. Color has nothing to do with it. Like, I just want to find somebody, a little kid that might be wanting to try this for the first time, but they're kind of scared because they don't see anybody that looks like them, and maybe they'll pick it up, man. So yeah, we have a lot of similar vibes about that. So yeah, I'm glad you said that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, gotta do it. You know, you just have to be authentic. That's why my company's name is Authentic Savage. You know, our mantra is be true to yourself, master your craft. You're the best version of you. You're the only one that can be you. So you have to live your truth every day, walk your walk, talk your talk, and just get after it, you know? And you hit the nail on the head. That's why I created my company, Authentic Savage. So this is for that person that may have barriers to entry, because for all intents and purposes, I shouldn't be where I'm at right now. I come from a single mother. I never had anyone to give me that outdoor skill sets, but yet here I am due to the kindness of others. So it's only right that it's reciprocated, and we pay that forward. You know, I pay that forward. So this is for that child that may not have a father at home, for that child that may be scared to engage in these things because they don't fit what other people believe is the norm, you know? Look, so yeah, it's just about paying it forward, man, remembering we're people at the end of the day. Because I tell you what, I done caught gators, pigs, everything. Last time I checked, it didn't look up at me and scurry off because I was a black man. The outdoors doesn't know any color. That's right. Only us that introduces that factor into everything that we do. The outdoors knows no color. All it is, are you good enough to catch whatever you're going after? Did you practice enough with your bow? Did you practice enough with your rifle? Okay, did you practice your land navigation so you know how to get back after you harvest that animal? The outdoors don't care. When it's 2 degrees, when it's -2 degrees outside, outdoors doesn't care. When you have an 8-mile ruck into before your camp, it's 8 miles to your camp, and you're doing that on foot, and you packing and everything, the outdoors don't care what color you are.
No, it's going to beat you up if you ain't ready.
I tell you what, it's a great leveler. It's a great leveler. It lets you know who you truly are.
Yeah, for sure.
Absent the color, sex, whatever.
Yeah, for sure, man. So being an African-American hunter in Florida, man, have you gotten any, like, have any flack from, like, other hunters for your color or anything like that from, you know?
I mean, do I get flack from other hunters? At first, in all honesty, very little. Because very little. When you speak to me, you see that this is authentic. This isn't a gimmick, a game. I'm not doing this for social media. This is who I am. This is what I love, whether I had that or not. Those social media platforms, I'd still be doing this. So a lot of people, they'll speak to me and understand, okay, this is the real deal. Or they'll see me, they'll be introduced to me through an archery tournament or seeing something online or something I wrote up for you know, and they'll understand. So very, very little. I mean, here's a funny story. We were out in an area called 10,000 Islands during COVID. They locked up all our boat ramps. We had to go 3 hours away to drop the center console. And coming back in, it was a 2-hour wait to get back in because everybody had the same idea. There was a gentleman there, and he saw one of my wild boar cutters. I have it capped in gold from this boar I caught. It was over 350. I forgot the exact size. So he had some good cutters. And then I capped it in gold. And I wear it as a charm on one of my chains. And he saw that. And he got to talking to me. And I told him where my old lease was at. And I was saying some landmarks and let out the name Devil's Garden and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, man, when I saw your chain, I thought you bought that. But then when I hear you talk, I know you're the real deal. And better yet, you are a real Florida cracker. And I got a chuckle out of that because it's true. You know, you see, there are certain people that see your skin, the color of your skin, and they have second thoughts you know, does this person really do this, this, that, or the other? But when I do these things, I don't do them from the basis of being a black man. I look at myself as a person. I'm a person. I know, I look in the mirror every day. I see I'm black.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But the level playing field is the fact that I am a person. So that's how I go into every situation. I know I'm black, can't change that. But one thing we all are is people. So when there are situations where I could probably think in that manner, okay, that person's asking me these questions because I'm black. He doesn't think that I know about this world or these things. I didn't ride this horse. I didn't do this, that, or the other. But I don't focus on those things. To be 100% honest with you, man, I just go into to every situation and meeting new people as Antonio, Chocolate Cowboy, Tone Brown. That's it. Not Antonio the black man. I know I'm black. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some people that say certain things, but unless a person is egregiously racist, how am I going to know if they're being racist or not, or they're judging me because I'm black? I don't know. You know, right. So yeah, just keep it 100 and just and move in the light. I call it moving in the light.
For sure. That is a awesome way to look at it, man. A level playing field, man. That's awesome for sure. You know, I've had a couple little run-ins, but for the most part, man, you know, like I told on another podcast, I've been duck hunting for a couple of years now, and we go up to this place called Ballard County, which is up in the western Kentucky area. It's close to the Mississippi River, you know, the flyways up there. So, on the Mississippi. So, we get up there, and my buddy invites me to one of his leases, and his leases is shared, you know, with other people. And, you know, they walk in first, and then I kind of walk in. They're kind of staring at me a little bit. But when they started talking to me, like you said, they could tell, like, I was passionate about what I did. You know, I was showing them pictures of stuff I'd harvested. And, you know, I shoot archery as well. I'm a competition archer. Well, I used to be. I haven't shot this year at all just because of, you know, family and work and everything else. But once they started talking to me, it was just like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. And the whole, you know, color aspect kind of just went out the window, because one of the guys actually asked me, he's like, hey man, I'm sorry if I asked you these questions. Like, we don't see a lot of people that look like you in this part of Kentucky. I was like, man, it's cool. You know, I didn't take it as he was being racist or anything. I just took it as, you know, he's asking me a question as a person, you know, as a new person we're meeting for the first time. That's a question that I would ask somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, any way you want to take it, but you have an awesome outlook on that, man. Like, level playing field as a person, not a black man. You just go into it, and that's awesome. I love it, man.
Yeah, brother, how stupid would it be if I had an archery competition and I got second? The man didn't beat me because he's white and I'm black or whatever color he is. That man was a better archer that day. Right. This person got this job. You don't know if it could have been because they had a better skill set in whatever their discipline is. So, you know, it's better. I believe life is about perception. You know, everything is about perception. If you're new in an area and someone questions you about something, well, shoot, if I live in an area and somebody's new and I haven't seen that person before and it's a tight-knit crowd, you best believe there are going to be some questions.
Absolutely.
I don't know you. So, you know, that's why I say we have to level the playing field, or we don't have to. I just choose to live my life that way. Level playing field where respect is key. Everybody understands respect, you know, being treated in that manner, pride and dignity. And for those who want to enter a situation with anything less than that, you know, then they get dealt with accordingly. I'm still a Florida man at the end of the day. My mom didn't raise no punk. So, but we keep it positive. You know, we keep it positive nonetheless.
Standing on business.
Oh, always, man. It's not just a saying. It's a lifestyle. Look, we stand on business every day. Real, real, you know?
Yeah, big facts, man. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. So, heard you say you're an archer. Do you shoot competition archery any?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a arrow tatted right here. I shoot.
I don't know if you can see mine right there.
There we go. Got a bunch of animals tatted all over me. Everything. Oh, yeah. I shoot competition archery. Matthews, got to give it up. Yeah. Love it. Love shooting. I shot a competition about, I would say, three weeks ago at the Florida Outdoor Expo.
Okay.
Which is, I love archery. Love competition archery. Really been focusing on hunting this year. As you can see, just came back from Africa. The week before, they moved the expo because we were out in Africa. They moved it back 1 week or else we would have missed it in the archery tournament. So, yeah, love it. Love it. That's awesome. Bread and butter.
So I used to shoot. I grew up shooting a bow tech. Well, I wouldn't say grew up. I started shooting archery when I was about 20. Well, it was about 20. I was about 23, 24.
Okay.
A guy named Clay Kirby. Shout out to Clay. He taught me to shoot a bow in about 10 minutes outside his house one day. And all he shot was bow techs at the time.
Okay.
So my first bow, I think, was a Bowtech Old Glory that I bought from him for like $200. And loved that bow. And so I just started buying Bowtechs every 3 to 4 years or whatever. But I kept breaking limbs on those older Bowtechs. You know, they were famous for that. I mean, that's what they were famous for. So
what was that? The lamination, I believe. They had a lamination problem back then.
Yeah, they did. So I think it was about, I want to say 4 years ago, me and my best friend were at Bowling Green, Kentucky. It was where I went to school. I went to Western Kentucky University down there at Bowling Green with him. And there's a place going towards Clarksville, Tennessee called the Hunter's Den. It's in Russellville, Kentucky. So I walked in, man, and there was a V3 Matthews on the wall that had bright orange strings. And I love bright colors. String on a bow. I don't know. It just does something to me. And I was like, I want to shoot that bow. And he's like, that's a Matthews. I was like, I've never shot one. And he's like, well, I can't let you shoot that one because it's not set up, but there's one just like it in the back if you want to go shoot. I was like, cool, no problem. So I stayed back there for probably an hour, just letting them fly. And I was like, dude, this draw cycle on this thing feels absolutely amazing. So I ended up buying that bow. Had it for like 2 years. Upgraded to the V3X, loved it. Then I sold my V3X and got a Phase 4. Hated that bow. Don't know why. I can't, because it was almost the exact same as the V3X, but it just didn't feel right in my hands. And that little rubber piece that they added to the
inside
middle,
the limb. Those,
they it kept like, I mean, it started to crack on me, and it was a brand new bow. And I was like, man, I'm probably going to have problems with this down the road. So I sold it, went back to my V3X, and I had a nothing but problems out of it with the cam systems. Kev had to replace the cams and everything on it. And so eventually I got tired of replacing everything. So I'm shooting a PSE Evo right now. And
okay,
I fell in love with that bow so far. It's a 34 axle to axle. I've got a 30.5-inch draw, and the draw cycle is a lot different than the Matthews. So it took me a little bit to get kind of used to how it drew, but man, I love it. So what kind of bow do you shoot?
Nice, nice.
You got a Matthews?
I shoot. Oh, of course. Matthews, baby. Matthews. So I started out, well, if we want to go back, I had a Ben Pearson?
Oh, that's an old bow.
Yeah, back in the day. I had a Ben Pearson. Yep. I got rid of that one, and I went to the Chronic XT, which was made by Redhead, which is Bass Pro Cabela's.
Bass Pro,
That's when Bowtech was still making those bows. They had the contract for Bass Pro. After that, I switched over to the Matt. I was on a college budget. So
I get that.
Then after that, I switched over to the Matthews Halon 32 with the 6-inch brace.
Yeah.
All downhill from there. Then shot that, smacked up a bunch of animals with it. Shot 3D archery tournaments with that for a while. I doubled that setup for hunting and and 3D archery. Then I moved over. I got my TRX 38. Call that one Old Glory because it's red, white, and blue.
Right.
You know, so I shoot that one for competition. Then I went and got the V3X 29 and a half. I wanted to try a small axle to axle bow. Bad idea. Shot that for a year. And the elevated two camo, that blue camo pattern. Yeah. Blue is my color. Then I switched over to the V3X 33.
Yeah.
That's what I took to Africa with me. And that's what I've been shooting for the past year, year and a half. My lift, I just got texted today. I ordered my lift back in November. So I'd have it for Africa till possibly last week or in the past couple of days. So my archery shop just texted me, yo, when you coming through to pick up your new lift? So I'm looking forward to setting that up as well. Yeah. That's so awesome. Matthews.
Yeah, I'll eventually
on the Matthews vibe.
I'll probably go back to Matthews. They came out with that lift, and it's in they sell it in Bottomland, and I love Mossy Oak Bottomland. Like, it's one of my favorite camo patterns, if not my favorite.
It's a classic. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I love it. Like, everything that I've got in here, besides I've got a few ticket things, but mostly it's Bottomland stuff, but. Yeah,
you say you're a Sitka guy.
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm a Sitka guy.
Bro, I love how quick you just corrected that.
Hold on, man. Like, I've got a few Sitka things just to try out, you know, the hype. But I'm on a, you know, halftime, I'm on a budget as a husband and a, you know, everything like that, and a father, you know. Yeah, and some of those you can go down a rabbit hole, sick of real, real fast.
Look,
I've been piecing my stuff together. Life.
Yeah, it'll ruin your life real quick. You start hitting that swipey on the right. On the Sitka.
Yeah, good thing I've got a buddy that lives up the road. Me and him are about the same size, so like when he upgrades his stuff, like I usually will get him like his old like hand-me-downs. They're still in good shape. You know, so I'm just like, I'll just do that, you know.
All right.
But no, I'm not a sick guy. I am a Mossy Oak Bottomland guy through and through. But yeah, going back to the competition side of everything, when I was like this year, I haven't shot much. But my first competition bow, I had a TRX 8, which is an older version of the TRX. And then I upgraded. It was a 40-inch axle-to-axle. Then I went down to a 38 TRX. I loved it. But I was like, well, I'm going to try something different. When those Bowtex came out. And I was like, and then I sold that, and I couldn't find a Bowtex anywhere because at the time they just came out, and they were selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And my best friend ended up grabbing one. So I just shot pretty much the whole last season, I just shot my V3X33 that I had at the time. I just changed a few things on it, went to a bigger arrow and everything like that. So, but that's awesome, man. Like, it's, you know, I mean, the archery world, I'll tell people, man, like, they are some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet in your life. And we shoot the ASA circuit up here.
Okay.
So, like, we went to London last year. We went to Metropolis, Illinois. I couldn't make the down south trips to like Georgia and Fort Benning, Alabama, and all those places, or Fort Benning, Georgia, or one of those. But all the ones around here, we pretty much made, and you know, we had a ball. So
that's awesome. Yeah, same here. This year, so 2021 was my year that I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go get after it in the circuit. And I believe that was the same year that COVID really buckled down on us.
2021.
Yeah, it got real over here as well. So I just came out, had a couple competitions under my belt, killing it. I actually lost. I was ranked 18th in the state. Lost one of my competitions to the shooter of the year for the previous year. Yeah, and whatnot. And then that COVID just set me down real quick. Yeah, yeah. Everything was closed around here. So just went back to the house and got after it. Luckily, I had a range, 100-yard range on our old place, and just hammered down in the yard. Just hammered down. So double-edged sword. But really looking to get back into the swing of things with a competitive archery. You know,
that's awesome. Do you shoot the ASA circuit down there? Is it ISO down there? Or what? It's ASA?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. We have ASA. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, I think ISO, that's a northern. That's a northern thing, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we have clubs affiliated that host the tournaments down here.
Yeah.
Everglades Archery, Fort Lauderdale Archery, Gold Coast Archery. Those are three main clubs in South Florida, and then they just keep getting north of here.
Gotcha. Heck yeah, man. All right, man. I got to ask you. We got to switch gears. Tell me about Africa.
I knew it was coming. Bro, look, I'm going to take the hat off for this. Look, Africa, majestic. If there's one word I can give you. Is majestic. There, you get there, and once you arrive there, if you fly into Joburg, which is Johannesburg, that's city. It's not rural. That's real city, urban.
Okay. South Africa, correct?
South Africa, yeah, because I hunted South Africa.
Okay.
Flew into Joburg. I was with Avula Safaris, which is a great outfit out of there. Great people. PH is there, top notch, killer. Killer dudes over there. So long story short, that was in the area outside of Vryburg called Naledi, which is 5 hours near the Botswana, 5 hours away from Joburg near the Botswana border. And the country over there is beautiful. These hills, these rolling hills, you know, the open area, the prairies and the real heavy, dense brush. It's not for the weak-hearted. If you say you bow hunt and your shot that you take, your average shot is 30 yards from a tree stand or a ground blind, you better sit yourself down somewhere. You might as well pay for a hunt and donate that money. Because unless you're sitting in a blind all day, you're not going to get anything. And I'm not that type of dude. I'm not going to sit in a blind all day. I came to Africa. I came to Africa to get busy. So for me, I spot and stalked all of my animals. As a matter of fact, there was one that I did not, because it just kept coming in my blind. And I have a rule that if God gives you an animal and they just keep showing up, that's a gift from God. You got to do it, or else that's a slap in the face. That's a sin right there. So right. My Gemsbuck, that was the only animal, which was the one with the tan cape, black on the neck, and the vertical horns that are huge.
Yeah.
So long story short, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ecosystem. Even down to the clay, the dirt over there is clay, or it's red. I thought it was so cool. I haven't even cleaned it off my bow yet. My bow still has it all over it, and my bow is, the riser is black. The animals over there, just a different breed. Same shot placement I found, and I shot three heart shots. Four heart shots, one double lung. My closest shot was out of the ground blind on the Gemsbuck, which was 22 yards. My Impala was 71-yard quartering heart shot. My White Blessed Buck was a 66-yard frontal heart shot. My Wildebeest was a 85-yard quartering heart shot. And my Zebra was a 81-yard double lung shot. So if you're going to spot and stalk, I hope you're getting busy out there. That's for everybody, because there are just certain species of animals that you're not going to close the distance on. And you need to be able to reach out and touch them with an ethical shot and have that confidence in yourself, because the gear is going to do what it's going to do. It's a matter of if you showed up or not and turned up on them. But Africa was great. Awesome. Awesome. If you ever hunt Africa with a bow and you want to see it, you got to spot and stalk. It's a whole different experience. Whole different experience.
So you're taking really, you're taking some like total archery challenge shots, it sounds like.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Long tech shots, like.
Oh yeah. And you know, that wasn't by design. I'm not gonna sit here and have a measuring contest. It was not by design. I'm gonna tell you that 100. But that's what I was given. And I had the confidence to be able to take those shots and know that it's going to be an ethical hit. So if you go on my Instagram, you can take a look at those heart shots, you know, and see, okay, yep. But once again, it's a matter of putting in that work. So when they do present themselves, you could take that shot and not go back home in the USA with zero in your bag, you know.
Right. So what made you want to go over there compared to any other place that you could go hunt?
Number one, it's Africa. It's Africa. The chocolate cowboy has to go to Africa.
It's the motherland.
It's the motherland, you know, you dig? So my grandfather and I, our favorite movie is A Ghost in the Darkness with Val Kilmer. Have you seen that
film? Bro, that movie scared me to death as a kid.
Dude, look, me too. Me too. That's my grandpa showed it to me, and it scared the life out of me. Nightmares, the whole nine yards when I was growing up, but I was hooked. And I said that I'm going to Africa, and I'm going to hunt Africa one day, because I think that's a part of being a gentleman. As a gentleman, you're successful. You're successful in your hunting, whatever your discipline is, business, all of those things, great partner, whatnot, strong, dangerous, and Africa. That's part of the checklist.
Right, yeah.
Calling yourself a man and gentleman in my world. So I already said it. Like this gentleman right here, this is my grandfather. I don't know if you can see inside of my charm. He has a fierce mustache. You don't even got to look at it. I'll tell you, his mustache. He has a fierce mustache. So that's what brought Africa about. And my lovely wife, when I presented the idea for us to have a honeymoon in Africa, by the grace of God, my wife is awesome. She had the same thought without me even knowing that. And then I was able to parlay that into me hunting for part of it. So we were gone for about a month. I hunted for, I'd say, 9 days. And then we just explored all around South Africa after that, Cape Town, Franschhoek, and various other areas. But bro, awesome. Awesome people, culture, food, the whole nine yards. That's what brought me to Africa. That love for the outdoors, the dark continent, how majestic it is. Everything's trying to kill you.
Right.
You know, we had a cobra come into the lodge. My buddy almost stepped on a puff adder.
Ooh,
all of that. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. You know.
Yeah. My grandmother always said before she died, she said, "There's one place that you need to save up and go before you die." She's like, and that's Africa. She'd been there a couple times, and she just like, it's like you just said, like the majestic and the rolling hills. And she actually got to go over to where Mandela was. And
That's awesome.
And she just said, it's one of those places that you have to go. And
yeah,
the only thing that's keeping me from going, to be honest with you, I'm scared to death to fly.
Brother, look, you talking to the wrong one, because me too. I was on, man. Whew. I tell you what, those flights had me in on Mars. I was like, get me off of this plane. I don't want to see a plane. I want to go back. I'm ready to go back already.
Right.
Man, I can't see a plane for a while. And while we're there, my wife is like, let's go to Japan. I'm like, wait a second. Can we calm down there? I'm just trying to get back from here one piece. get through these plane rides. Yeah. So I'm right there with you, man. But look, I was able to do it, so I know you could do it.
For sure. How long is the plane ride there?
So,
or you have a couple connecting flights.
We broke it up. We also went to Paris and Amsterdam. So on our way there, we hopped off from Miami to Paris, which was about 8 to 9 hours. And then Paris to Johannesburg, which was 10 hours. Then on the way back, we flew from Cape Town because we were in Cape Town at that point of our trip. And that was 10 hours to Amsterdam and then 7 hours from Amsterdam to Boston, 3 hours from Boston to South Florida.
Okay. That don't seem too awful bad.
No, when you break it up.
Break it up like it, that.
It's doable. All I know is that if I was on the plane for 15 hours, I would have been the one flying the plane trying to land somewhere.
Yeah, look. For sure. So would you say Africa was your most memorable hunting experience so far?
That's a hard one. Yeah, that and when I was a little boy, that the hunt with Tony Wright, and then there's one more hunt. I forgot what age I was, but it was with my mother's friend, and we were in the Poconos, and we're going to go hunt, and all we did was open the garage door, and there's a huge buck standing out in the yard. We didn't even leave the house yet. He's just standing out in the snow to the left. I remember opening up the garage door, walk out, and he's just right there. I can't remember how close he was, but he was close. So those are my three. But Africa, we'll never forget that experience. You know, the people there, not only the hunting, and I want to emphasize that, not only the hunting, but the culture, the quality of people there, and the fact that what is depicted in mainstream media is not all of Africa. By no means. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I would really suggest that for anyone who has an inkling to want to go, to make that happen for yourself, because it is not what you see in mainstream media.
Yeah, for sure. That's what my grandmother used to say, like, what you see on TV is not at all. She's like, you got some like tribes that live like way out in the bush and whatever, but
right.
For the most part, he's like, it's nothing like that. But
no, not at all. You know, you're not going to see the for 5 cents a day and the kids, they're laying there with flies on their eyeballs. No, that's not the vibe. You know, right. You do have, like you said, you do have your tribe areas. And of course, you have your low income areas, just like you do them in the States. There are certain areas in Florida that I'm not going to.
Right.
That's self-preservation. Same thing with all the other countries I've been to. There are areas in Colombia I'm not going to go to. There are areas in Africa I'm not going to go to because I don't belong there, you know. But that's everywhere. That's everywhere. So I'd say visit it. Guys, definitely visit it.
For sure. To go back to The Ghost of the Darkness. So I don't remember how old I was. I think the movie had just came out, I guess, in the early or mid-90s. And that scene... like Val Kilmer comes out and he's got the double barrel shotgun.
Yep.
And that woman was like just getting dragged through the village.
Yeah.
Like I go to sleep at night and we live like in the sticks. I mean, there's nothing around us but woods. And I don't know, for some reason that night I kept hearing noises and you just screechy stuff, man. And I'm just like, Dad, like that lion's outside. He's like, Bub. There's no lions in Kentucky, you know, just go in there and watch, you know, your cartoons or something, just to kind of get your mind off of that, man. I couldn't go to sleep that whole night. That movie scared me to death, and I couldn't watch it anymore until I got older, and then I was just like, okay, I'm good now. I just kind of had to face my fear a little bit. So
brother, look,
that's awesome.
That's how you know it's real. I got this thing. That's how you know it's real.
Yeah, look, that's awesome.
And so I'm going to do you one too. The same thing. So I believe it came out in 93, if I'm correct. Let me see when this thing came out. I think it was 96. Yeah, I was a little boy. I'm born in 92.
I was born in 86. So.
Okay. So I remember watching it in my grandpa and our house. There's lake behind it, woods, and it's a long one-story house. So it was fairly long. And the sliding glass doors open in the living room. It's evening time. It's dark. You're hearing the and back then during gator mating season, you hear the bull gators with their night. And I remember watching it and just being scared to go to the bathroom on the other side of the house. Because I'm thinking that the lion isn't with us. I'll never forget that. But the same thing, man, it's such a wonderful film. It's such a wonderful film and a cool story.
Yeah, it really Danny is.
Of Szabo, based on a true story.
Yeah, based on a true story. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So how many continents have you been hunting on?
You know what? I haven't hunted South America, just Africa. That's it.
Just Africa. Okay.
Yep, just Africa. But I do want to get an ibex out in Turkey. I don't know if I'll go for a brown bear I want to go for a brown bear before ibex.
Okay.
Yep. But I definitely want to get out there for an ibex. Whatever else do I want to go? There are a couple animals I want to slam in the United States before I head out to any other places, but I had to get Africa done. I just had to do it. Definitely want to get back to Africa. I need me a Cape bull, a dagger boy. That's what they call them.
Hmm.
A kudu.
Yeah.
Not a roan. What's his name? It has the rack and it curls back on him.
Sable. Yeah.
Dude, oh man, there was one day when we were driving and about, I'd give it a good 1,000 yards to the base of the hill. It's like a good 1,000 yards to the base of the hill. And then it went up and at the top, we all looked at the same time. I don't know what it was. Like a voice said, look, we all looked to our right and the sun is coming down behind that hill. So it's nice and orange. Anything on it is silhouetted real good. And you know, like anytime you get in a gunfight, you want to fight from the high ground because you have the best vantage point. Right. But in the same breath, when you're on the high ground, you silhouette real good, you know, makes you a easy target. So there was the biggest sable I've ever seen. It was so big. Its horns fully curled around to its back, man. When it was standing up, not with its head back, but when it was standing up, relaxed.
Wow.
And I'm like, I need one of those.
I need one of those.
That beautiful, beautiful animal. So yeah, I want a sable, a kudu, a springbuck, because I chased those for days and just couldn't get anything closer than 100 yards on those. They're so fast.
Yeah.
And a Cape bull, a dagger boy. Yeah. Oh, and a baboon, and a boon. I want a boon so bad.
I heard them things are pretty dangerous too.
Oh, them things are vicious. Things are vicious. My PH in his Toyota Hilux. My wife was riding in there in the passenger seat with him. And one day I'm getting off of it, about to go put a stalk on some springbuck. She's like, look. And there's a hand dangling off his rearview mirror. And it's a baboon hand. And we asked him, why do you have that? He's like, because everybody, when you see the baboon hand, everyone thinks it's voodoo. So no one will steal your vehicle or mess with it. So this man has a whole hand just dangling on a string from his rearview mirror. I'm like, that's savage. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I love it.
Shoot.
If here, you know, if you see chicken bones in somebody's car, like especially like down south Louisiana somewhere, it probably is
something. It's something. It's like, okay, I'm not even gonna park next to this car. I don't need it to rub off on my car, whatever right. they got going on.
So the meat that you harvested, how did you get that back home? Did you
you can't bring the meat back to the U.S. My trophies are being taxidermy. What we did was we consumed most of it there, and what we didn't, we donated. So we donated to my I don't harvest an animal and not consume it. Either for I'm sure. going to consume it or someone that's in my circle is going to consume it, you know? So yeah, those animals were consumed. The wildebeest, the blue wildebeest, insane. Medium rare. Oh man. Our chef, she was mixing up the medicine, man. Oh, it was awesome. Awesome. Man. That the Impala was great. Everything was great. All of the meat was awesome. So yeah, we consumed it and donated the rest.
That's and now awesome.
These are getting done. So I'm looking forward to seeing those things, you know, and they all got a story. You all know,
right. that's what I love about hunting, man, the stories that are behind these. I've got, I think, 5 or 6 bucks, couple of ducks back here. I don't know if you can see them. I got some turkeys, and I got they're everywhere in here. But like all of them have a story, man. And I love when people come to my house and they walk in my, you know, little man cave. It's not huge, but it's mine. And they just like, wow. And I'm just like, all right, the story. Here's the story on this one. Here's the story on this one. And I think a lot of people, when they hunt, especially new hunters, they get so caught up in the harvest that they don't take time to really think about everything leading up to the harvest. Because everything, especially on social media now, everybody wants to see kills, 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 kills.
That instant gratification. You hit the nail on the head.
But it's the stories that I love. Even if I don't harvest, like last year I didn't harvest a deer at all, but I could tell you some stories that some of the best times I've had hunting so far, even though I didn't kill anything, just watching these animals come through, or, you know, seeing turkeys come through, or seeing cows come through, and actually just sitting there and just watching God's creation come to life.
Yeah.
It's an indescribable feeling to me. And that's one of the main reasons I love the outdoors. Like, that's my me time. That's what me and the Lord get, you know, we get busy there. You know, I'm talking to him, you know, I can just feel his presence with me. And I'm like, you know, it's going to be a good day regardless if I harvest anything or not. You know, I'm out here in the wilderness. You know, I'm out here in God's creation. See, some people, they can't get out there, whether it be an illness or something. So I always want to give thanks every time I'm able to make it out there.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah, so
100%. 100%. That's what it's about, is making memories. You know, no matter how much something costs you monetarily, you can't take that with you. But one day you may not have that thing anymore,
right,
for some reason. But you're gonna have the memory. You'll have the memory. When you make those memories, you take that, you lock them in up here.
Yeah.
Bro, I could tell you about some hunts. The hunting aspect was horrible. And hunting in South Florida, it gets nasty because you're dealing with the elements, you know. 4 feet water, you know, crossing flag ponds. We've been up to our chests, holding our pistols and our bows up above our head, crossing ponds that we just saw gators slide into. But look, the buck's over there. We're going to get it.
Right.
Horrible hunts. But the laughs we've had and the memories we've made, you know, us and our camper, a camper that sleeps like 4. 9 of us packed into a camper that sleeps 4, just getting after it, laughing. Good times, you know, that's what it's about, that camaraderie. When you have your boys there, that camaraderie and that time where you're in that stand by yourself, you get to truly be immersed in nature, see the ecosystem wake up in the morning.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have never seen that. And we take that for granted as hunters. Sometimes we're ready to see our target animal come out. But that moment where it breaks and everything starts to come alive, the birds, okay? You're seeing the bugs now come out. The sun is just peeking through, that breeze that sometimes sways your tree stand. You fight and sleep because it's just rocking you perfectly, right, and the noise the breeze makes when it comes through those trees. It's like, man, I wouldn't trade this for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I get it, man. It's a beautiful thing, especially in the spring turkey woods, man. When you get in there and it's like everything comes alive and they're just hammering around you, man. It's an awesome feeling. So,
oh yeah, it gets crazy. I did spring turkey out in the Allegheny in Pennsylvania, and it was just insane. You got the turkeys going off and whatnot. Good times.
Yeah, you're going to have to take me gator hunting, man. That's on the top of my list. My wife thinks I'm nuts. But it used to be elk was on top of my list. But the more I watch like Swamp People and Mr. Jim Caesar, that's on social media, him going gator hunting all the time, and I'm like, dude, I've got to go. Like, so yeah. So what are some valuable lessons that you've learned from being in the outdoors that you can share with us?
Oh man, I have a term that I like to tell people, and it's push and pee. Patience, persistence, and perseverance. I love the outdoors. I love archery because not only do you get to become better at your skill set, it gives you, specifically archery, gives you life lessons. And for children, I believe it's a phenomenal thing because where else do you get to learn discipline in a fun manner? Most of the things that teach you discipline in life aren't fun,
right?
You know, where you get to learn patience, because that's the thing with fish and hunting. Patience is key. That's pivotal. Discipline, that repeatability, being able to do the same thing over and over and over with archery, draw that bow back, get in your anchor point, you know, acquire your sight, your stance, your grip, all these things, you know, that symphony of movements, the biomechanics that they come together so you can drill that shot, whether it be on an X, a heart shot, double lung, whatever it is. Same thing with a rifle. Make sure that your pull on it, your inner cheek comb, your pull on that trigger. So persistence, patience, and perseverance. Those are pivotal factors in the outdoors and directly applicable to yourself, to your success in life. Those are major pillars right there that have resonated with me, you know, that have come from different things in the outdoors.
I love it.
Thank you, brother.
I love that, push and pee. And it's not what the youngins is talking about right now, push
and pee. Look, and that's the thing. Everything is like life, half empty or half full. You could say, I take a saying and something, you know, take a mantra. There's always a whole nother way it could go. So I choose to take it the positive way. We're going to push pee the right way around here. Patience, perseverance, and persistence.
Yeah, that's dope, man. I absolutely love it. All right, man. So I got about two more questions for you, and then I'll let you get off.
For sure.
So you have a hypothetical question. You've got a young kid that comes up to you, African-American, inner city kid, getting in a lot of trouble, hanging with the wrong crowd, got gangs after him, single parent household. He sees this interview and wants to get into the outdoors, but he doesn't know how. What advice would you give him?
What advice would I give him? Just do it. And I'll go a step even further. I say, contact me directly, because that's the thing. I'm a person just like everybody else. And my goal here is to introduce as many people to the outdoors as I can. Right now I have over 30 episodes of free archery content in a series called How to Get Started. And it's literally giving you the A to Z of how to get started in archery, because that's what I want. I want the youth. I want those, I won't even say troubled youth. I want misguided youth, because a lot of times people don't have any guidance. Let's go back to the base. You know, I want misguided youth to have something that they can defer to. Because out of archery are scholarships. Out of archery is a career. You can be a bow tech. You can open up your own archery shop, entrepreneurism, all of these different positive things. And like I said, it teaches you various life skills. So to that young man, young woman, or even adult,
right?
Please don't be afraid to reach out to me directly. You can find me on my Instagram at The Incredible Tone. You can reach out to me on my website, Authentic with a K, savage.com, which all the content's there. We even have a paid archery class, but I don't care about that. I don't care if I don't make a dollar off of that. I want people shooting archery. So go get on that YouTube and look at my free archery content. Or if you have a question that doesn't even apply to archery, the outdoors, or even a life question, feel free to holler at me. I'm here for y'all. From the bottom of my heart, I'm here for y'all, because someone was kind enough to do the same thing for me. So it's only right that I reciprocate that and pay it forward, because my life, the positive impact it's had on my life is astronomical.
That's awesome, man. That, yeah. So the key for me, I guess, for this channel, when I started it, is for the kids. You know, but my short term goals, you know, kind of get my name out there to show people what I do, find some kids to take hunting with me or whatever, show them the ropes, and just keep leaving that legacy. Because one day we're not going to be here, you know.
That's and a fact.
Well, we leave with our children, and you know, maybe somebody else's kid is going to last a long time, like it did for you, like that man did for you. So my long-term goal for this channel is to basically go in the inner city and bus kids from Baltimore, Memphis, New Orleans, bring them to the country and teach them hunter's education, boating education, you know, fishing education, everything that I can teach them about the outdoors. Because maybe they're in a spot in their life where they're getting drawn from both sides. You know, they might be trying to join gangs. They might be into, you know, robberies or whatever. That little bow or rifle or that fishing rod in their hand just could save their lives. And that's where I'm at with it, man. Like, I just want to, if I reach one kid out there, I've done my job. And that's the legacy that I want to leave. My son, he's 6 years old. And when I tell you he's ate up with outdoors, he's ate up. I've got his bow right beside mine. Anytime that I go somewhere, he's wanting to go with me. He's always wanting to go outside and shoot his bow. He's always wanting to go, you know, I haven't got to take him fishing yet, but he's wanting to go fishing with me. And it makes me feel good because I was that kid that followed my father around, and just watching it come full circle where my child has followed me around, man. It brings tears to your eyes sometimes, man. And it's an awesome feeling. So
that's awesome, brother. I can imagine.
Well, brother, I really appreciate you coming on today. I'm glad we finally did this, man. I think people are going to like this. You're well-spoken. You're very knowledgeable. You've been to Africa. Like, a lot of people can't say that they've been, you know, on another continent to hunt and actually come back and actually harvest something, you know, and just the experience that you have and the passion that you have, man. Like, you got my respect, brother.
Oh, man, thank you, brother.
If you ever need me for anything, I'm always here. My phone's always, I've always got it in my hand. Usually it's always somewhere close, man. So if we can hook up on a hunt sometime.
For sure.
If I can bring you to Kentucky or I come to Florida, but You're taking me gator hunting, I'm telling you now.
Oh, I got you. Look, we all put in for tags. The whole family put in for tags. The wife put in for tags. Look, I tell you what, we're going to get it. We're going to get it, brother. We're going to get it. And the same to you. My phone is this right here. Feel free to holler. You know, any type of questions, anything. And like I said, for the youth out there or even adults, feel free to reach out to me. Feel free to reach out to me, whether it be life question, outdoors related, archery, whatever. You know, I'm in this to serve others and bring them to where they want to go, if I can help them in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah.
Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. It's your boy, AB Chocolate Cowboy, the Incredible Tone, Antonio Brown, whatever you want to call this man.
You dig?
So anything that you need out there, if you want to ask me, if you want to ask him, you know, We Do This Too Outdoors on Instagram, Incredible Tone on him. What's your brand name again?
Authentic Savage. You can find it at AuthenticWithAK.com. Authentic Savage with a K.com. The YouTube channel is Authentic with a K Savage. My Instagram handle is The Incredible Tone, @The Incredible Tone. So That's how you find me.
That's how you find it, man. So, all right, man. I appreciate you. God bless you. And thanks, guys, for listening, man. We do this too.
All right. Be easy, guys. Thank you for having me, brother.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.